This week, it's just us boys, and it's a news buzz edition of the show. We're talking D&D Beyond, Xbox adding advertisements? What? And Sony and Nintendo making changes to their subscription services. All of that and more in this week's episode of Next to Nothing. Roll the intro. Bing Bong?
Hello there. No, I think I'm going to change it up. I'm going to change it up because Bing Bong has long disappeared from the public eye of TikTok. So I think it's time to let that dog lay. He's old and tired and ready to go to sleep. You know?
He's going to take the old Bing Bong out behind the shed, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
An old yeller Bing Bong.
Yeah. He's my dog, Pa. I'll do it.
I'll do it. Oh, man.
Hello, and welcome to Next to Nothing, a show for gamers on a budget. I'm your host, Danny K. With me, as always, the wonderful, the beautiful, the Mr. Green Elite. Green, how are you doing today?
I'm tired. I slept for about 3 hours last night. Woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't go back to sleep. So then I stayed up from 3 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I'm like, I need to take a nap. So I took a nap, and then I woke up about an hour and a half ago. So I'm refreshed, but still, I could have slept throughout the whole night. I really could have.
Yeah.
I could have, called it a day until 7 a.m.
Dude, I know that feeling. I know that feeling.
It was hard. It really was. My bed was like a siren in the old tales of seafaring, where it says, come stay with me, crash here forever. And, it was tempting. It was tempting, but I didn't give in to those harlots, you know?
Yeah. I call that having a disagreement with my bed. Mindachi, where we are. Hey-o. Also, I'm sorry, I didn't give you the proper introduction that,
Yes.
We're also joined by the Spooky and the Ookly, the Mindachi. Mindachi, how are you doing today?
I was actually just talking about how I've been burning myself with formic acid the past week. So, you know, really good there. About 15 minutes before the show, I was just hit with a massive splitting migraine. So that's been cool. But my fiance has recently gotten into My Hero Academia and burned through burned through the first three seasons in a week. So she is hot on the tail of catching up to where I was at the end of season four. So pretty soon we're gonna be all caught up. So that's super exciting, man. Otherwise, don't mess with formic acid. That shit is what will deglove your flesh from the rest of your body. Unless you would really like to free your skeleton from your flesh prison.
Free him.
He must be freed.
Corn to man's sacrifice.
Yeah.
I have no way to transition this into the rest of housekeeping. So, guys, thanks for watching and listening to the show. If you miss any part of the show, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to join us live, you can find us on Twitch every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time. If you guys want to be a part of the show, you guys can answer the question of the week, which is, who's your favorite Batman? Green Elite, who's your favorite Batman?
Kevin Conroy. It's mint, especially paired with the one and only Mark Hamill as the Joker. I don't feel like there's any other Batman that's equivocally good when it comes to Kevin Conroy encapsulating the pure essence and voice of Batman. He even did a live betrayal in the, I think it was the CW Flash show, which was pretty dope. For live action, I think Ben Affleck's Batman got a bad rap. However, I don't like how they took his.
Oh, you good there, Green?
He just folded in on himself, man.
He just kind of disappeared.
Our boy went invisible.
He got stuck in the contemplative position.
That's how I want to be remembered.
Yeah. So, Mindachi, who's your favorite Batman?
Honestly, so up until tonight, or, well, yesterday, actually, last night, I would have had the exact same answer as Green. Having grown up with the Batman, the animated series, Kevin Conroy is masterful. But I also kind of want to not keep nostalgia up on a pedestal. Last night, I got to catch the Batman with Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz and a mess of other really talented people. And it blew my mind just how perfect their adaptation of what Gotham is, who Batman is, and what a Batman story is actually like. Mm-hmm. If you've never been a fan of Batman, this is the movie for you. If you've always been a fan of Batman, this is going to be closer to Batman Detective Comics. It is dark. It is gritty. You are reminded of humanity and just if it has a real living feeling rather than like a super powered, crazy action movie. It's amazing. So currently, and hopefully for quite some time, Robert Pattinson will be my favorite Batman.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. No Christian Bale or Michael Keaton in that.
Where is she? No, Christian Bale's Batman to me was always like, it's that super over the top. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, I am the shadow. I am vengeance. I am pain. You know, he's just like super over the top, overacting. And then like when he's Bruce, he's a fantastic Bruce. Like, I love Christian Bale. And when he's just playing the character of Bruce Wayne, mm-hmm. night and day, as far as performances for me go. And, you know, like Michael Keaton, fine.
I hated Christian Bale's Batman.
Yeah, thank you.
Just because, like, Batman's character was like, has always been like the detective, smart, mm-hmm. You know, one of the smartest people in the DC character fandom.
Yeah.
But yet, when they had Nolan's, it was like he had a lot of help from a lot of other people.
Not only that, but he was like a brutal ex-ninja man.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, like they leaned so heavy into like League of Shadows, assassins, you know, like everything like that, where it's just like, that's part of him. Yeah. But that's not the whole fucking thing. The Batman brings you back into this guy is fucking brilliant. And they do it so well with the Riddler. The Riddler is terrifying in this. Like Dennis Rader and Zodiac Killer, terrifying, dude. So what good.
What I was saying before my PC abruptly decided to not be awake anymore. What I really want to see is an actor named Scott Adkins play the role of Batman, because he has the charisma, and he also has what a lot of the actors that have portrayed Batman in the past don't have, and that's actual martial arts skills. Mm. For anyone who doesn't know Scott Adkins, he played a henchman for the bad guy in the first Doctor Strange movie. He played in Expendables 2 as like some henchman to a bad guy. I think he deserves a actual like big title leading role, and Batman is perfect for him.
Could give him Red Hood.
I still think Jensen Ackles should be Red Hood because he did the voice so well, and his body, like, he fits it.
He's getting old.
Yeah, but I mean,
he's Soldier Boy now.
I think he could pass. I think he can still pass as Red Hood.
So, my answer to this, by the way, is going to be completely trolled, because I don't care about Batman. But Will Arnett. Will Arnett is the best Batman.
He's definitely got the raspy voice that Christian Bale really made famous. So,
yes. Or Peter, I can't remember his fucking name, Pete something. He's the one who did Batman. Like, what if I sing the alphabet? A is for Alfred, B is for Bat. Yeah, oh God, so good. Is it helicopter?
Are you telling me if I click this little red button, there's an explosion.
It's just like a meat cling wrap, vacuum sealed. It's very sweaty.
But
so good, dude.
But we had sex. All right, let's go on ahead, guys. Let us know.
Troll on, dude.
Let us go. Wait. On a- yeah.
Wait.
Before we leave, Batman is mid.
What's Batman that? Is what?
Mid. Super mid.
Oh.
Horrible superhero. Okay, I said it.
So
okay.
If you guys want to tell Green he's wrong, go on ahead and rage that in the YouTube comments. He will respond to every single comment that you make
every
regarding that
one.
Statement. Every single one. So please go on ahead and let him know. If you guys want to let us know your other thoughts on the question of the week, you guys can also let us know on Twitter. Green, what's that Twitter?
That's at Next Nothing PC.
And on Facebook.
Yeah, Next Nothing.
Cool.
Can't miss it.
Yeah. So like I said at the top of the show, this is going to be a news buzz edition of the podcast. So let's go on ahead and talk about some news. Mindachi, this one's in your wheelhouse. Tell us all about D&D Beyond being acquired by Wizards of the Coast.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd love to. So first thing off the top, what I'd like to say is that I am not a 5e player. I've been for the last 13 years exclusively a Pathfinder First Edition DM, or GM if you're an elitist. So the biggest thing here is I don't want to come at you with any sort of bias. And for those of you that don't know much about 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons or Dungeons & Dragons at all, obviously we have a tabletop RPG, probably unequivocally the largest and most popular tabletop RPG on the market right now. And one of its biggest issues is its biggest asset, which was D&D Beyond. D&D Beyond is an online web tool. It's also an app that you can get on any tablet or phone. What it allows you to do is very quickly create characters and manage them as well. And you can play D&D straight from your character's character page. It's very, very easy. It's incredibly intuitive. And if you are part of a campaign with your DM and fellow players, which is something that you would actually join into, much like you would party up in any other game, you can share all the digital content that each of you have had if you subscribe, which I think is like $5 or $6 a month. Now, therein lies the actual issue here. The digital content of D&D Beyond. It's always been divorced from Wizards of the Coast's actual published hardcover and softback books. People often thought D&D Beyond, Dungeons & Dragons Beyond, is owned by the company that makes Dungeons & Dragons. Not exactly something that you would say is a terrible assumption. In fact, many forums are actually filled with people saying, hey, I just bought the hardcover of the Player's Handbook. How come there's not a digital download for D&D Beyond for the same book? Or a coupon, at least, to purchase it for a little bit cheaper? It's really strange. And the answer is, D&D Beyond was owned by Fandom, and they were a licensed online retailer for Wizards of the Coast. Buying their digital copies had nothing other than, you know, the generation of digital keys from Wizards of the Coast. So people were really upset. Why do I have to buy two copies of exactly the same thing and at the exact same price, mind you? I'm telling you that if you went into a comic book shop or game shop right now and you dropped $50 on a Player's Handbook, physical hardcover edition that you could pass around at your table to all of your buddies, you would, if you wanted to play online with your buddies, have to go and spend another $50 on that same book. Not only that, but if you wanted to actually hop the fence and just dive right in, If you wanted to buy all of the materials that you need to, say, experience everything that D&D 5e has to offer, you're looking at nearly $1,000 in source books and materials to use online through D&D Beyond. Now, see, that doesn't necessarily, like, it's terrible. Like, that's a lot of money. Holy shit. Like, I don't know if I want to hop into this hobby. And many of us have just been kind of slowly collecting over the years. D&D Beyond has existed for 5 years, and in that time has kind of become the thing to use if you're a 5e player. And it's very easily integratable into literally every other thing. You could, of course, use Roll20, which is free, or you could spend $50 for one copy of Foundry to have you and all of your friends use. There's also Shard and a couple other little things, like you could use Discord, for instance. But nothing is going to be as intuitive and useful as D&D Beyond. From being able to just click one of the numbers for your saves and have it roll a die digitally, show you the result and do all the math for you, or simply collect new material from your DM. If you picked up a sword, boom, it's in your inventory. It's just that wild that other tabletop RPGs haven't made the leaps and bounds that D&D Beyond has. It is so far and wide the most useful tool for anyone just getting into the scene. So, again, people constantly thinking, well, this is a brilliant, you know, tool. There's no way that Wizards of the Coast didn't make this or don't own it. And so, continuously, the questions flow for 5 years. And finally, Wizards of the Coast, owned by Hasbro, says, you know what, we should probably do something about that. And so they did. They have announced that this will not change anything as far as how D&D Beyond works on a greater scale, on the big scale. You get to keep all your characters, your campaigns, all that information is still there. You still have access to all of your books and source materials and yada yada. The biggest thing is, we don't know. We could potentially see discounts. We could potentially see free digital books. D&D Beyond, being from fandom, we don't even see things like quite like sales very often because they have to buy these digital keys. And most of the time, when you see things like Humble Bundle, they're going to be PDFs. They don't necessarily work with D&D Beyond, though I believe they have in the past. This means a lot of opportunities for people who use D&D Beyond or have wanted to, but see this as a massive paywall to hurdle over to potentially not have to do that in order to get into this wonderful hobby that everyone else seems to be really enjoying right now. So it's a little too bad that this happened like in 2022 and maybe not like 2019. So I feel like they would have seen a massive explosion during 2020. Before I kind of toss it over to you guys and start answering some questions you may have, this is from the D&D Beyond staff. So this is what they posted on the 13th. So I apologize ahead of time for the very cringe wording here. It's not mine. It's not my words. So anyway, from the D&D Beyond staff. We've just leveled up in a big way. Dungeons & Dragons and D&D Beyond have always felt like a part of the same family. That's what everyone else thought too. That's why we're excited to announce that D&D Beyond is formally joining Wizards of the Coast, bringing together two teams that eat, breathe, and sweat for this game and continue to strive to make D&D easy to run, exciting, and accessible to all. You, and by you, we mean the 10 million users that have been on this adventure with us since 2017, are probably wondering what kind of change might happen as a result of these two teams coming together. So let's make this clear. Wizards of the Coast has no plans to stop supporting D&D Beyond ever, which is really smart, considering the fact that a majority of players do use D&D Beyond when they're playing online, unless like they just tried one thing and then never left it. But this is easily the most accessible gateway into the hobby for people that are trying to start something, especially if they have a lot of online friends. The purchases you made, the characters you've created, the campaigns you've run, they're not going anywhere. You've probably got a million questions about what comes next, but what we can say for sure is that we're excited for what the future holds as we dig in with our new partners. We wish you could see the big, stupid grins we've all been walking around with. This is truly an incredible time for all of us, and it really feels like there's no limit to what we can accomplish for our players. Remember, the key factor that makes this partnership perfect is that these teams want one thing: to make your experience playing the world's greatest role-playing game, which is all in caps, by the way, it's a slogan, even better. If you've been on this journey with us for a while, we're so glad you're here. If you're brand new and clicked on the site today to figure out what the big news was all about, welcome. Remember to register for a free account. Sorry, we can't help ourselves. We'll have more to share with you throughout the year, so tune in to the Dev Update, which airs on Twitch on Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, and check out new content right here on dndbeyond.com. To read Hasbro's press release on the acquisition, you can also do so. And it's very much the same thing. It is actually quite a bit longer, and even goes into telling people what Fandom, which was D&D Beyond's parent company, was about. And then like what their forward looking statements are. It's like that one's much more in depth and a little bit less like, here we go, we're just all a big happy family. It's actually much more business oriented, and so if you're into that, I would recommend checking that out.
Excellent. Any other like bits of like the hard news before, like, because I have some opinions I want to share.
Oh, for sure. So what I would say right now, as far as like my ideas of how this whole thing goes, the one pill that they made easy to swallow, and this can go both ways. If you are just hopping in and you know exactly what you want to play, like you did some research beforehand, you could do a search for, say, the class, race, subclass, and feats, and blah, 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 that you really wanted to use. And you could go and purchase those separately for like $2 for a subclass and maybe $1 for a race or something like that, released in a book, instead of spending, say, $50, $60 on a digital copy of the book. The most interesting thing about this is you can go look at the books that you purchased. Like, you have to go into a specific part of your account to look at your purchases so that you can look at a digital asset version of what you purchased. But more or less, you're purchasing a licensing to be able to use the content in the book with the D&D Beyond app. So until you make a purchase of either a whole book or a subclass or a race, when you go to build your character, none of that is there. It's one of the biggest issues that I think I have. When you go to build a character, you don't have grayed out slots for races that you can't pick. And like, you could just click it and be like, I would like to go purchase this. You actually have to know what exists. You might even have to go and see, like, I want to play, I'm just going to make something up right now because whatever, an Ioun dragon born like sub race of the dragonborn. Okay, well, you're gonna have to look up what book that race became available. Now go to D&D Beyond, search for that book, then scroll all the way down, find the race that you want to do, click the box, make the purchase. It's not friendly in that sense. I would hope that along with perhaps cheaper prices for some of this material, it's at least a little bit more user-friendly. If you're brand new, I highly recommend that you just, you know, use the free stuff that's there. But yeah, that's Goblin Barbarian with a big fuck-off hammer. So goblins aren't available right off the bat. You would have to go and purchase that.
Yeah.
For...
yeah, because in the core D&D player's handbook, it is humans and variants, elves, with their three variants, half elves, orcs, dwarves, halflings, gnomes, dragonborn, and tieflings.
Ganassi. Ganassi as well.
No, Ganassi are not in the PHB.
You sure about that?
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
I'm like 100% sure that Ganassi are not in the PHB. In the core rule book. That the first
hold
the,
up.
Yep, that one.
Hold up.
Alright, we got dwarf, elf, halfling, human, dragonborn, gnome, half elf, half orc, and tiefling.
That's weird. I did forget half orc, but yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, because orcs aren't even in the PHB. The orcs came out in they came out in the second book for 5D or 5E.
Well, y'all had to have me bust out the hardback.
That's right. Right? Fact check, motherfuckers.
yeah, so they are available off the bat on D&D Beyond, but they are not off the bat from your player's handbook.
Yeah. So I have some opinions here that I'd like to share. First off, yeah, I was entirely shocked to find out that D&D Beyond was not actually owned by Wizards of the Coast or Hasbro, for the simple fact that like D&D Beyond has a lot of the Wizards of the Coast staff on their YouTube channel a lot. Like Jeremy Crawford and Chris Perkins and the one douchey guy named Mike, I think. He's like a writer.
I like that one, yep. Douchey dude.
Oh, I can't stand him. Like I've watched videos with him. I cannot stand. And then I see his tweets too. And I'm like, you are like just
Mike
so...
Merles.
Yes. Oh golly. There is just something about him that just I'm like, you are such a douche.
Yeah, he's also got a little bit of the smooshy face.
Yeah.
It's like someone did a little pinch.
Just to go with Zombie's comment in the live chat. He's more interested in the big fuck off hammer, and I mean, you could technically get the same effect with the gnome.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things here. But in terms of like someone who's actually looking at getting into D&D and it like has that dilemma, Mandachi, what are you recommending people do? Are you recommending people like maybe get one or two books, or you recommend maybe that they use D&D Beyond and piecemeal their experience with Dungeons and Dragons?
So if you're just jumping in, and I even, so like I said before at the top of this segment, being primarily just Pathfinder First Edition and having GM'd Pathfinder First Edition for the past 13 years, it's exceptionally hard to tell anyone to get into that tabletop RPG because the learning curve is steep. And you can literally, you are met with so many options that it feels like you're building an entire world when you're just making one person, or it can be. D&D Beyond is the kiddie pool, and it's how it should be for something as in-depth as tabletop RPGs. I think that it has so much ease of access as is, with no purchases necessary. Like it's likely that at this point, almost every other person has heard of D&D. So when you have something like D&D Beyond that you can literally just go on the Google Play Store, Apple Play Store, Pay Store, Play Store, whatever, and download it, or just hop on your PC and do that. And to be able to make a whole character for free with everything just kind of being explained to you step by step, I highly recommend not spending anything and just trying to make, you know, something that looks cool to you. Like, do you want to play a fire Ganassi fighter that uses two axes and medium armor, and, you know, maybe in a couple levels you take a level in barbarian and, you know, you just go hog wild? That's really, it sounds like something that could be really intricate, but with D&D Beyond it's three mouse clicks. So yeah, I would recommend anyone that's a brand new player to even hop into 5e right now and just go that route. If you're curious about what that looks like, go and do D&D Beyond and just make a character, see what it looks like. And then just, you know, join us farther down the rabbit hole where we all are mad.
Yeah. I don't really have any other thoughts, really, just other than the fact that, yeah, I was completely shocked to find out that this wasn't associated with Wizards of the Coast, that it was a licensed thing. It also, this is just also a really good example of, like, I understand this is a licensed thing, so copyright is not, technically being infringed upon here, but it's also a really good example of, like, brand confusion that, like, both D&D Beyond and Wizards of the Coast probably could have done a better job, like, explaining there's a difference between that D&D Beyond is not a Wizards of the Coast property. Like, I've used D&D Beyond before. I have an account, I think, still.
It is now.
But yeah, it was just like, this is a really good example of, like, hey, a lot of people were very confused by this.
Like, oh yeah, like, that's just, look, Google it, man. Like, yeah. There's literally forum after forum after forum, and then, like, for every other comment that's like, why can't I just have a digital copy of the book that I just spent all this money on, someone's like, different company, man, they're not affiliated with each other, and then, like, they sell their shit, like, yeah. that's it where it stops.
So, like, there's, like, that issue of, like, customers shouldn't be confused by that.
Right.
Like, so obviously now they won't be, but so yeah, that's just, like, another thing. I'm like, yeah, like, make sure your customers aren't confused by shit like that. Right? No one's confused if you go to a bookstore and buy, you know, go to Barnes and Noble and buy a book, but if it says D&D Beyond as the URL, people might think that's a Wizards of the Coast property. Which, like, again, obviously is now, but just, like, as a, like, a thing for future reference to other companies, like, don't like, make sure that stuff doesn't confuse customers. Like, be smart about that, please.
That does seem like it would be kind of like the entry level thing, right? Like, that should be, like, step one of making a business.
Yeah.
Differentiate your company and your brand from, like, things that sell it. Like, if you just had a game store that was called Wizards of the Coast, but it wasn't owned by Wizards of the Coast, and all you did was sell Wizards of the Coast things like D&D and, say, Magic the Gathering and minis that are, you know, literally Wizards of the Coast brand, Nolzer's Marvelous minis, you know, people would be like, oh, is this, like, an official Wizards of the Coast game store? And they'd be like, no, we're not affiliated at all. Everyone would be like, why the fuck are you called Wizards of the Coast?
Yeah.
And more. It's like, yeah, we're the and more part. Like, okay.
Yeah. Green, any thoughts or opinions?
Not really. I mean, I think it, I'm just as surprised as you as D&D Beyond not being already a part of Wizards of the Coast. And I don't think anything malicious technically will come out of this. I think it's a purchase. I mean, we've seen other companies pay more for less. So
yeah,
I think hopefully they have a really good amount of integration now that they're officially part of the Wizards of the Coast and an official property. And maybe I'll use D&D more, or D&D Beyond more, especially if I get into more actual D&D play, because I'm still new, so I'm just waiting for that campaign to come along.
We haven't sullied you yet. I do have three
tainted
taint. I do have three small bits. So first small bit is the general public idea of how this is going to go is very positive. So far, people are like, yeah, this is exactly what we were looking for. Thank you. Like, they haven't laid off anybody from D&D Beyond, and they want that entire team to keep working on it. Because, like I said before, to be quite frank, it is the easiest kind of like online TTRPG like setup to actually get into. There's even talk about them possibly going in to make a TTRPG simulator through D&D Beyond. So it's like 100% there. The only thing that like people are really worried about, like Tabletop Simulator or Roll20.
I was gonna say like a virtual tabletop. Gotcha.
Yes. So like they had initially rolled out like a poll. I think that was towards the end of 2021. I might be a little bit mixed up on that date, but they were like, hey, what do you guys think about us making our own little thing? And like, people are like, I mean, yeah, that sounds nice, but I mean, I use Roll20 or, you know, I use Foundry or, you know, whatever. So the only worry is like, if they do end up making that virtual tabletop, are they going to be like, this right here is like our proprietary blend, you know what I mean? And then be like, all right, our stuff's not going to work with Roll20 anymore. Our stuff's not going to work with Foundry. Like, no D&D Beyond integration there. Sorry, get used to it. You know, something like that. So there could potentially, I don't really see it happening. I don't know why you would shut people out from spending money on you, you know, just to make force them to use your thing. And then lastly, there could potentially be more microtransactions. I had kind of briefly mentioned like, hey, if you want to play a samurai, that's $2. You got to go find out what book samurai was printed in and then buy your ability to, say, play that class. So we could potentially see them piecemeal things further. But I would have to really think hard about what that business model would look like and why they would do that. But that is, those are generally the things that people have been kind of talking about in this kind of sphere of intrigue surrounding this purchase. My last bit of knowledge to drop on you, if you are playing in person, I think that everybody should use the D&D Beyond app, just because it's a lot easier to use and look at than, say, like a printed out character sheet that will be covered in eraser marks and you will have to fill that thing out numerous times, and something that my players struggle with even now at level 14 in this long-standing campaign is, did I get that bonus plus one from a temporary spell, or maybe it was a boon from a god? Did I erase that? Is that my normal number? And that shit drives me wild as a DM because I already have to take care of so much. So help your DM out. Use a digital interface when you can that will remember things for you and have nice, helpful notes like that. But you can still roll your dice in person. And of course, just having one copy of the player's handbook is really helpful for quick referencing as well as just learning the rules. But a lot of that stuff can be found free online. And if you're looking at, say, D&D 5e, you can find all information on almost every single item that's been printed out for D&D 5e, from classes to rules to literal potions and specific magic weapons and armor on dndwiki.com. So there is a lot of stuff out there for free. So the initial paywall should be like a used copy of the player's handbook, and that's about it.
Excellent.
I bought my new, baby. I bought my new.
At your local comic book store, please.
Oh, I used Amazon. I'm a little shill.
What a dick.
I know.
Give Daddy Bezos all that money.
Yeah, he needed those Chris Benjis. I said, I got you. He was building that dick rocket to space, you know?
Yeah.
I had to support the cause of the dick rocket.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So would you be surprised if we see an Amazon ad in an Xbox free-to-play game?
No.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Well, yeah. You know a little bit about this story, so why don't you go on ahead and give it to us, Daddy?
Yeah, so sources state that Microsoft has been contemplating adding advertisements into free-to-play games that are currently on their network. Think like Apex Legends and Call of Duty Warzone. This comes from Business Insider that Microsoft has mulled around the idea, not in favor of pocketing this revenue, but instead raising this money for devs of free-to-play games that make their platform. This is definitely something that Microsoft is not taking lightly, though. Two sources told Business Insider, quote, "It's moving cautiously and intends to create a private marketplace where only select brands can insert ads into games in a way that doesn't disrupt the gameplay experience." So this is not an official thing. Microsoft is still working out logistics for it, if it's going to actually become a thing. We will see in the future, but imagine extra ads being popped into random games from time to time. Just in that free-to-play market, you're not going to... I wouldn't expect, like, NBA 2K having advertisements in their... middle of the game, like a almost like a TV ad style, like they did more of like a just quick snippets and stuff like that.
Yeah, your Sprite remix look back or whatever the hell they did.
Yeah.
Well, what 2K did was they actually interrupted the game.
Yeah, that was bad.
Like they fall on. Was it 2K or was maybe it was UFC as well? One of the.
It was. I know for sure it was 2K.
Okay. Yeah, that's because they interrupted it for like a 30-second preview of an FX TV show that was like premiering like that night or like that week or something.
Yeah.
In a $60 game, mind you.
Yep.
In a full AAA title.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping that if this does come to fruition, it is definitely for the best interest of the devs rather than for Microsoft, because do they really need more money? But then I also think about the concept of a lot of devs that make these free to play games. Usually there's an online store for those free to play games, and that's where they get their revenue from. It's been a standard practice ever since like Fortnite and Apex made the scene where like the game is free to play, but they make a lot of money from their cosmetics and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, that's been a standard practice for years.
Yeah.
I mean, since
that's what I'm thinking. It's like, are these devs like, do they need the benefit from this? Because like they're entering into this market knowing that, like, it is a free to play game, and then there's options for, creating revenue inside the game via cosmetics in an online store. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Would you like to see more financial support for free to play games, or would you prefer to have your games ad free?
Mindachi.
You
want to
go first? Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll play ping pong real quick. Yeah. I'll take it though.
I will say, Green, that was a very well loaded question there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That felt almost like ambush journalism, sir.
You can at me on Twitter or comment in the YouTube video and tell me how much of a horrible person I am.
Yeah, ambush
journalism. Or just asking you the hard questions.
Ambush journalism, sir. Mindachi, go ahead.
So, okay. God, see, okay, I'm of two minds here. So, first and foremost, I think that, you know, game developers deserve more money in general. Like, if you're talking about, like, an indie developer, small-time developer, stuff like that. With free-to-play games, they're typically GaaS, games as a service, and they already have microtransactions or perhaps a battle pass, or they offer aesthetics like skins or gun skins, et cetera, et cetera. So like they're definitely not hurting for money in the first place. I don't really care about Mountain Dew or Nikes or whatever, what have you, when I'm playing something, or like fucking Doritos, pizza rolls, whatever the hell, you know, that they're marketing to gamers this week. But it's one of those things where when I see it, I laugh pretty hard, you know? And God, what was it? Was it Let's Play with Nate Bender talking about how like the Obama campaign put ads out in like Burnout Paradise or some bullshit? Yeah, like, I don't, I go to video games to escape from my tarnished, nightmarish reality. Like, I don't need to see what things I want to put in my body while I'm playing a video game, man. I like it when, you know, things like Grand Theft Auto make up dumb bullshit to put on billboards, and then that slowly died out, and they just had, like, you know, slowly updating actual billboards. I don't know.
This village in Animal Crossing brought to you by Doritos.
Right. Yeah. Like, no, that sounds like a nightmare. And it literally makes me take damage. Like, I feel pain from this. I just don't really see most free to play games needing something like advertising. It just seems like another way for them to get extra money on the side. And there's already so many services like, oh, you want Hulu with ads, Crunchyroll with ads. Like, you get it for free. You got to pay something. So it better be some of your time. Let me make your eyes look at this is what it feels like. And I don't like it. It makes me sad.
Well, I mean, that's the crux of all media, right? Like, there's never been a publicly available media that hasn't been supported in some way, shape, or form by advertisements.
Right.
That, like, as just a part of mass communication, has always just been a thing. Unless it's government-sponsored stuff. But even then, government-funded programs, at least here in the States, still have advertising. They just call it a different name. They call it underwriting.
Right.
I see you, NPR.
Right.
I see you. So I've always kind of been under the impression that if something is going to be publicly available, easily accessible, that it has to get supported by something. And so the fact that it's free to play games doesn't bother me, right? It depends on the ad integration, especially of like, hey, before the game launches, you're going to need to watch a 30 second ad. Okay, fine. I don't necessarily mind. What I would mind, though, is that if it interrupts me in some way, mm-hmm. I also have concerns about, say, a Twitch streamer or a YouTube streamer playing the game and then getting an advertisement. Right? Because at that point...
Layers, man.
Because at that point... And granted, there are issues with the intellectual property law in which technically streaming or doing video creation is technically infringement. It depends on the EULA of said product, but those people still aren't seeing a cut. So in me personally, I would like cut those ads as fast as possible, just because that's not a part of the viewing experience I want. But yeah, as long as like it's the free to play games, I am perfectly fine. What I don't want to see is like this program be the prototype to start adding more advertisements into Microsoft games that people pay for, because we get into the cable TV argument. Why am I paying so much for cable TV and I'm still seeing a shit ton of commercials, right? Like, people kind of forget that you had to like pay for cable.
Oh yeah.
And like, if you just had basic cable, you still saw on average 5 minutes of ads in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah. Cause ad breaks were usually about 2.5 minutes.
I'm still paying for cable. I still see a bunch of commercials.
Yeah, exactly. So at that point, I'm like, that's when I'm going to start having problems with this program, if it expands out to that. And I hope it doesn't. I hope that this isn't just like a prototype to see how acceptable it's going to be. And of course, we'll have to see the proper implementation, too. How are they going to implement this into the free-to-play games? Implementation, to me, is going to be the biggest factor on whether this is going to be something good or not. Again, if it's like 30 seconds as like you launch the game, perfectly fine, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have no problem with that. If they maybe put like a banner like in unobtrusively on the main screen or during the loading screen, okay, fine. But if it's going to like make you stop playing the game like once an hour,
right,
and force you to watch an ad, or it's going to be like like a bunch of unskippable ads, then I'm going to start having problems with it.
Like, that's the whole reason why not many people like to play a lot of cell phone games. Yeah. You know, like, oh, you want to keep playing? You're out of energy. That means we get to show you commercials so that you have more energy. It's your anti-commercial meter is what energy is.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's gonna be based on implementation entirely for me on whether or not this is going to be a good thing or not. Yeah, sorry. Where else were we?
I think that's the majority of it, man, is just it really depends on how they want to do it. If it's going to be like, you know, here and there, if I'm playing, you know, some sort of like free racing game, I'm just going to make up like, I don't know, like Dirt Rally 6 and, you know, like the kind of like side walls on a rally, you know, have like your typical advertisements here and there. And then like at the end of the race, like, you know, here's your, whatever, your pepperoni hot pockets look back at the race, and it's just, you know, some highlights and stuff like that, and then like in the corners is like a spinning hot pocket. Like, yeah, dude, fuck it, sure, go ahead, we love advertise, we love companies. I love brands. Do you love
brands?
My entire personality is brands. But yeah, it's just, it all depends, like you said, how it's integrated and how much we have to look at it and how in our face it is.
Yeah, by the way my entire personality is brands as well, and if you don't like the same brands I do, I will call you slurs.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely. I will die for brand.
I will die for brand. Okay, and if you disagree with me on my choice of brand, okay, you are a worthless human piece of garbage and deserve all the mean names I'm about to call you on Twitter. While I'm also sporting an anime profile picture.
Yeah,
getting a tattoo of a Dorito on my ass cheek next week.
Hell yeah!
I'm gonna go jump up on the McDonald's countertop and scream about Szechuan sauce, and then I'm gonna go home and laugh at Arby's Twitter feed.
Yeah, so
I love it.
We're gonna be hitting all of the big three here of Xbox, Nintendo, and Sony. Let's talk about what Nintendo and Sony have going on in the news this week, which is that following an investigation by the United Kingdom, both Nintendo and PlayStation will be changing their subscription renewal systems. So the investigation was conducted by the Competition and Markets Authority and found that the auto renewal systems that the two giants, the two juggernauts in the video game space were using for their online services were anti-consumer. And Sony and Nintendo, before the UK government could take further action, decided to make some changes of their own accord. So, okay, we'll give you a little clap, a little golf clap for doing that. They certainly didn't have to yet. They certainly seem to be changing that practice before they get slapped with fines or were forced to. Quote, as a result of our investigation, a number of changes have been made across the sector to protect consumers and help tackle concerns about auto-renewing subscriptions. Today's announcement therefore concludes our investigations into the online video gaming sector. Companies in other sectors which offer subscriptions that auto-renew should review their practices to ensure that they comply with consumer protection law. That was Michael Grenfell, the executive director of enforcement at the CMA in the UK. So how are they making their changes? Great question, guys. Here's what's happening. Sony, they will be contacting customers who haven't used their subscription in, quote, a long time. I'm assuming that's probably going to be like 90 days. and provide information on how to cancel their PS Plus subscription. If users don't return to the service or cancel on their own, Sony will cancel on their behalf. So I'm assuming if like you don't use the service within 30 days, they'll send you an email. If they don't hear back within 30, I'm sorry. If you don't use it within 90 days, they'll send an email. Wait for 30 days. If they don't hear a response from you, if you don't log back in within those 30 days, they're going to cancel on your behalf. I'm assuming something kind of along those lines. I don't know the exact dates, right? So take that with a grain of salt, but I'm just assuming based on what I think would probably be pretty common practice. I know that's a pretty common practice in email marketing. So I'm assuming they're probably going to take similar steps there. Nintendo, kind of the worst out of the options here. If I'm, you know,
of course,
share my opinion, they'll be making the automatic renewal off by default. So you'll have to opt into it or manually activate the feature yourself. So
I thought they were the opposite. I must have read that completely different.
Am I an idiot?
No, I think I am, Danny.
I need to look at the
So do I.
At the story. Okay. Now. You want to confirm which one of us is right and which one of us is wrong?
Automatic renewal is a feature for customers who would like to continue using a paid service for an extended period. For example, when automatic renewal is activated, I think it has to be activated.
Yeah, for Nintendo, you have to activate.
Yeah, so I think that you have to opt in to automatic renewal. I don't think it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have to opt into the automatic renewal.
Yeah, I think that otherwise it does not automatically renewal.
Yeah. Yep. So which is definitely like the worst of the two options. Because the whole point of the renewal systems or the whole point of the protection is to like make sure that customers aren't getting charged for services that they aren't using. So if you opt into the automatic renewal thinking, oh yeah, I'll use this, you know, I'll use the system every month, and then 6 months go by and you're still paying for it, doesn't that defeat the purpose? At least with the Sony system, it's like, okay, I only paid for 3 or 4 months without using it, and they canceled my subscription on my behalf, right? Like the Sony one seems to actually be a customer first approach, which is odd to say.
Right. Yeah. It feels good, but it feels weird, man.
Yeah. And I haven't been able to verify this at like anywhere. Is this just an effect for the UK? Or is this like a globally? I didn't see like anyone say that anywhere, that this was just something coming to UK customers for these two companies.
Like, I'm gonna see if I can find it there. Let's see here. Da 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 blah blah blah. It looks like it's auto renew practices for just the UK is what I'm seeing. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw this like go globally, because like, why not?
Yeah. Well, I'm concerned that it probably won't go global.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was another thing. Like I looked at, like I said, I looked at Games Biz. I think I looked at The Verge. I want to say Polygon or PC Gamer. Looked at a few different sources, and nobody said directly that this was just for the UK.
Yeah.
Or not. But, you know, that aside, whether it's just for UK customers or not, I think this is a pretty good thing. It's nice to see that they weren't forced into making those changes, and hopefully they do make them global if they haven't already. I think it's very clearly a good thing for customers, and I don't think anyone's going to complain about not accidentally spending money on a service they're not using. you know, anyone who sees this as like a negative, it needs to kind of reevaluate.
Yeah, dude, I pay for so much shit I don't use. I have to check every month.
Yeah.
I'm terrible about it.
Green, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of hope it does become like a global thing, because I've had some issues with the Sony especially. A little bit inside. Like one time I bought a gift card, or not a gift card, but a subscription, like a 3-month subscription card. Or someone gave it to me for Christmas. Yeah, I got it for Christmas, 3-month subscription card for PlayStation Plus. And I added it to my account, and I thought that, like, you know, that would count for my renewal, but it didn't. So it charged me my renewal plus that gift card, that subscription card, and then just added time to it. And like, it didn't give me any warning and stuff like that. So I think both companies really need to be more diligent about their subscription services for sure.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, opinions that we want to share on this?
Nothing other than just like it is a great idea. I'm looking over here at my PS4 Pro, just off screen here. I can't remember the last time that I turned this baby on, and like I got my start on Twitch, and I reached affiliate just by streaming off of it. Like this was my child, my baby. It's what made me not like, I don't know, like run around in the streets naked during the pandemic, dude. And after I got this gaming PC that Green helped me, you know, construct and pick all the parts out for, and then like I just stared at him while he just spoke sweet nothings to it, and it just kind of put itself together. I haven't really needed to start my PS4, but you know, yet I have been paying for my PS Plus every month. And I think that if this was, you know, like put in place globally, I probably would have already had Sony. I was thinking during your segment, I was like more like Brony, and then I thought to myself, oh no. But anyway, they probably would have canceled it for me already, just because like I have not really touched this guy at all.
Yeah. Yeah, Green, was there something that you wanted to add there?
Oh no, I was gonna say it before Mandachi said that. It's like you could avoid this altogether if you just buy a gaming PC, and you don't have to worry about paying for an online subscription to play a game, a multiplayer game or anything like that. You can just play with your friends on the World Wide Web.
Yeah. Was there anything else that we wanted to talk about this episode?
I don't think so, man. I think this is like, it's literally every giant gamer company thing, you know, around. You know what? I'll share it. I just bought a tank top with Toad, with his fist coming back and says, "On God, I'll do it." You know, so like, I'm excited about that.
Damn, dude. Damn. No, I've got like nothing else. I think this was a much needed news buzz edition, because like we didn't even get to like, we've missed like significant stories like over the last couple weeks, just because of like how nightmarish life has been for all three of us. But good to just talk news. I do have some game reviews I'm working on too that I'm sure our audience will appreciate. But if there's nothing else, guys, you want to wrap it up?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap up the show this week. Let's hear a little bit about what's coming up. Mr. Green Elite. Also, guys, there's an announcement. Let's save that for the, like, actually, let's just do that now. Let's do the big announcement now, and then we'll go into what else we're doing this week. Okay. So this Friday and Saturday night, we are doing another charity drive, another Next to Nothing and Friends. This time it's going to be 24 hours supporting Greenlee, you can announce it.
St. Jude's. St. Jude's.
Yeah, so we are doing another charity event. Again, 24 hours starting Friday night at 5 p.m. Central.
Yeah.
And it'll be another raid relay. So we are going to start with one streamer and raid into each other until 5 p.m. the next night. So Friday to Saturday. So, and that's all Central time.
Yes.
We have Sally Nightmare, Indy Falco, Ice Burglar, Mr. Green Elite, Mendachi, and myself. Is there anyone I'm missing? I don't think we are.
No, that's nope. It. Six streamers.
Six streamers.
And I believe Indy is going to kick us off.
Excellent. Or is it Sally? I thought it was Sally. Am I mistaken?
It's Indy, and then Sally will be wrapping us up.
Okay, gotcha. So, yeah. Six streamers, 24 hours, one fantastic cause, all starting Friday at 5 p.m. Central Time. If you guys want to donate early, Mendachi, do you have a quick link that we could send people to?
Yes, I will go ahead and tell you. It is tiltify.com/next-to-nothing/NTN St. Jude's 24-hour charity event. That will also be in the podcast notes, just so it's easier for you guys to access, because it's a lot to type. And you might misspell something, or your phone might autocorrect it. So check that place first.
Yes. And then, Greenlee, what's coming up on your channel?
I'm probably going to be playing some more Hunt Showdown and Escape from Tarkov. I've been addicted to first-person shooters for forever now. Tomorrow, I believe I'm going to be streaming some more It Takes Two with my lovely fiance, Kenna. Something I haven't really told her is I'm looking at getting a new engagement ring and a wedding band set, and I'm trying to raise money for that on my stream. I found a really nice set on Etsy that I really want to get. That's what I'm trying to do personally, because I want to pay for that, and I want Twitch to my Twitch income to pay for that. So I'm getting there slowly but surely each month. You can catch me on twitch.tv/MrGreenLee. You can also check me out on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and all the other good socials.
Excellent. Mendachi, what's coming up with you?
Hey, everybody. So last week I was just way exhausted. It's been rough going with the job. So I'm going to say tentatively I will be maintaining a Thursday, Friday, Saturday schedule as I try to every week. This Friday, I think I'm going to try and catch Northmen. So hopefully we'll actually cover that on podcast for two people. It's been a hot minute since me and my buddy Brent have been able to get together. So hopefully that changes. Thursday, I'm going to try and get back to Anno Mutationum. I've also been really wanting to dive back into Vermintide 2 with Brent. Otherwise, Saturday, we're going to try and do some more Monster Hunter Rise. It really just kind of depends. I've been working 60-hour weeks, so woof. We're gonna try and power through, y'all, in the name of just trying to have a good time. You know what I mean?
I see you. I feel you.
Mm.
Coming up on my channel, my schedule for the rest of the week is tomorrow night playing some Hunt Showdown, and then on Saturday at 5 a.m. is my portion of the raid relay, so I don't know what I'll be playing, but I'll be playing something. I also have not like put it out there, but I do have the other YouTube channel that that the podcast is not on, where the rest of my not-for-broadcast videos are going to be, and then some indie game videos that I've been testing out and trying out will also be up on that YouTube channel in the coming weeks. So, make sure you guys follow me on Twitter, at Danny K, DaNieCae, where I will post that stuff. And, guys, I think that's going to actually officially wrap up the show. Thanks for watching and listening. Your time with us is always appreciated. Of course, we're not just interested in your time. or your attention. We're interested in your opinions as well. Let us know what you think about the question of the week, which is, who is your favorite Batman? Or let us know what you think about any of the things that we talked about today during the show in the YouTube comments. You can tweet at us or talk to us on Facebook as well. If you guys missed any part of the show or want to take us on the go, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are found. If you're already finding us on those platforms and want to join us live, that happens every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Or Central Time. I think Central Time is proper right now. Anyways, if you guys like what we do and want to help support the show, drop a like and subscribe. Ring that bell. That really helps us out a ton on YouTube. If you really want to take it to the next level, though, the number one top tier way to help us out is by telling your friends. Until next week, stay safe, stay healthy, keep fighting the good fights, and we will talk to you guys again next week. Goodbye!
On God. I love you.